Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
The two newest Blackhawks make their debuts on NBC Sports Chicago tonight. Dylan Strome, Brendan Perlini take the first shifts in the Windy City as they welcome the Las Vegas Golden Knights to Chicago. Blackhawks pregame live drops the puck on our coverage bottom of the hour. Then it's an early 7 p.m. game time on NBC Sports Chicago and that My Teams app you need to download. Sports Talk Live on location at the United Center. Blackhawks Authentic Fan Night. Make sure to share your Blackhawks fandom using the hashtag AuthenticFan, and your photos might be showing during tonight's game. We'll get the festivities started right now. And welcome in here to the United Center. Nice crowd on hand. Vegas Golden Knights skate into Chicago. And this is Sports Talk Live, brought to you, as always, by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. We have David Haw. He's one half of the Mully and Haw Show on The Score. Also writes for the Chicago Tribune. Charlie Rumeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago. See, I get that perfect now.
Nice
Scott
job.
King from WGN Radio, where he's their Blackhawks insider. All right, Blackhawks and the Las Vegas Golden Knights, who were the storybook team a year ago. Blackhawks, though, in transition, making a big trade. So two
in
kids
transition,
make their-
that's a good way to put it. I think this year is in all about transition. Big trade, a lot of excitement, curiosity tonight. I think Dylan Strome is a guy who has a lot of focus on him tonight because of what we saw. That you give up Nick Schmaltz, you want to see something in return.
In the former number three overall pick.
He's got some skill. Can he skate? Is he going to play at that pace that they need him to play at? A lot of curiosity, Charlie.
Right. I do think you're adding two top nine forwards, but there's certainly a lot of question marks with both players. Obviously, Nick Schmaltz, they were hoping he could be that second line center of the future. He gets dealt to Arizona. So, in a way, it feels like they were kind of replenishing losing Vinny Hinostroza in the Marian Hossa deal, where they're trying to get back the top nine forward that they lost in Hinostroza and bringing Strome and Perlini on board.
I think this trade's even a win if Perlini can just be a bottom six guy, if he can contribute there. He's supposed to be really fast, supposed to have a great shot. So not only if you get top 6 minutes out of him, but if you can play in some depth too. And Strome, the scouting reports on him were just kind of to be wary of his speed, kind of like David alluded to. Could get a little faster. And look, if he needs to get faster, maybe he can see Jonathan Toews' trainer, who really worked some wonders with him. Toews is fine this year.
The one thing you wonder is that Nick Schmaltz had some value around the league. This is a guy who's going to be a star in the NHL, I think. He wasn't fitting in at the Blackhawks. They didn't know if they'd be able to re-sign him at his price. But if he has some value, why not go get a defenseman? You're going
that
to need a defenseman.
That was my question. I was just going to ask you. You need backline help, and you don't get a defenseman.
They think they're going to get it next year, though. They think they're going to get in their prospects like Bodine, like Ian Mitchell.
What happened to win now? I mean,
I'm a little more realistic now.
I think you're right.
Hold on a second. We were told at a press conference less than 2.5 weeks ago, that's a playoff team.
Yeah.
And it was coaching that was the issue. I don't think that's
true. We were told last year that all these young guys are going to take over, all the young forwards, and they're all gone now. They're
now, Stan Bowman gone. Said this morning, we interviewed him on the radio, that, obviously Connor Murphy's coming back. That's one way to address it. That's going to help. Look, you need more than Connor Murphy. Given his past, that's not a guy who you trust necessarily.
Right. I mean, you look at the trades they're making. These aren't trades that scream short-term moves. Like, these are longer-term moves while also addressing short-term needs. So I don't buy the whole this is a playoff or bust. Yeah. Like, I still think this is a team that's looking at the long-term. So I think that puts it all into perspective when you look at this trade.
Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Did the Schmaltz trade improve the Chicago Blackhawks? Again, NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. I don't know if it did.
Well, I think
maybe?
It did. I think Charlie's right. I think it improved the Blackhawk organization. I think it improved their roster over the long term. I don't think it improved their ability to make the playoffs this season. I don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, I think it's way too early to tell, too, because this move wasn't made like, okay, these two players are top nine forwards. Let's go out and make a playoff put. Like, this is, okay, we got two young players and two former first-round picks, a number three overall pick, a potential future second-line center. Like, this is this is going to show dividends down the road, not necessarily this season. So it's way too early to tell.
It strengthens the team overall. You know, I don't know how good their playoff chances were before, but I guess you could say it increases them a little bit. You're not just getting two young forwards that are ready to play now. They're going to grow with experience, with minutes. But Dylan Strom, 6'1". I think Perlini's 6'3". So you're getting some big guys, and you need a big guy up the middle. And Strom, I think he's like 58% on the dot in faceoffs.
He's also played with DeBrincat in the past in the OHL. I mean, maybe that's the chemistry between those two guys will be something to watch. If those two guys play with Patrick Kane, what a line that is for, in terms of the, you know, a firepower offensively.
Yeah, I think there will be a big comfort level there. I don't necessarily think you can make Dylan Strom faster, which is his biggest knock. But if he can play with Alex DeBrincat, and maybe it can feel like they're back in the OHL again, making that match.
Yeah, except there's no Connor McDavid for the third guy on
well,
line.
They, the line. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they never really played on the line together. They played on the power play. So it was, I think it was Taylor Radish on the wing. So not necessarily the worst thing. I think it was really the magic was between DeBrincat and Strom.
Well, I think the lesson to be learned with Schmaltz getting traded is, you know, he was fast, but you don't have to be super fast. You're going to be a depth center, or even if a number two guy, just go north and south. That's what the organization wanted him to do. They wanted him to go north and south, and they wanted him to shoot more, and he didn't do that.
That was my disappointment, was in losing Nick Schmaltz. I liked him as a player. He could do some things with the puck. He was dynamic. I wanted to see him grow up as a Blackhawk because he wouldn't shoot the puck. He wouldn't shoot at the net. He was a dynamic passer, but he didn't do enough. I'm sorry that he's gone and he'll develop elsewhere.
But reportedly he turned down a very substantial contract thinking he could get even more. The day he got on that plane to fly to Arizona, he had two stinking goals. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He underachieved this season.
Yeah, I don't know if his biggest knock is whether he can shoot it, whether the mentality was it. I don't know if he fully understands how good he can be yet, because the chemistry that Kane and Panarin had, Patrick Kane talked about it and said, Nick Schmaltz is the guy that I want to develop this chemistry with. And I don't think Schmaltz ever realized how good he can be, because he's always deferred to Patrick Kane, and he's been too respectful of it. And Patrick Kane had this problem too when he was a young player. He was always a pass-first guy. And then when he developed this 50-50 shoot-pass mentality, he became the most dangerous player in the league. So that's what Nick Schmaltz is still struggling to realize.
What did you guys make of the knock that he didn't, his compete level could have improved, that it wasn't where they wanted it to be?
Schmaltz's?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's accurate. I mean, I don't think it was a secret that the organization wanted him to shoot more and wanted him to play north-south. We've heard Edzo say it on this channel.
Did he play hard enough? Did he play hard enough for their liking?
I guess not. You know, from their standpoint, to the fact that he's gone, I would say they didn't think so.
I think his work ethic on the ice was fine, but off of it, I don't think he put in a lot of effort that needs to be there. Like
that's
Patrick
pretty damning.
Kane.
I mean, if you can't do that as a professional athlete.
So what is the realistic ceiling for this team this year? Realistic. Not what you hope they can be. What do you think they can be?
Boy, I think they're just on the outside looking in. You know, they're not going to be a top. They're not going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to probably flirt with respectability. They're going to compete for probably two periods a night, but I just don't think they're going to have enough depth and quality defense to be able to get where you want to be.
They're getting good goaltending from Corey Crawford,
and they're going
to
continue to get that.
Yeah, I think at best they're a bubble team. These Western Conference games, like if they win three in a row in the next, like they're back into the playoff mix. And then they can lose three in a row, and they're still like, oh, well, they're only 3-4 points away. So, like, they'll always be maybe in contention. At some point, though, at the end of the season, they're just going to be like, okay, this is what they are. They're a good team for 40, 45 minutes, and then they have these defensive lapses that they're just going to cost them.
I agree. They're not playing a full 60 minutes, like they said. No, I think they are seeing some improvement under Jeremy Colleton. They're only 3-4-2 now under him. But that's kind of that record's improved upon. You can see their play is improving. They're kind of getting the message and getting the tweaks that they're supposed to make. So I think you'll see more development with his system, but I think they're going to be a bubble team regardless.
What are they doing better with Jeremy Colleton as a head coach? Are they just responding more, a little more urgency? What do you think overall you've seen the improvement?
I think they were told to focus on things like playing away from the puck. When you're strong away from the puck, you're going to get possession. When you get that possession, that's when you can make these fancy plays and Patrick Kane can get you the puck or he can score. So I think that, I think just focusing on some of the little things has kind of raised their compete level.
Henry Yogi-Yar, who had a healthy scratch the other night.
Yeah.
It's not something that he's probably used to.
That was surprising.
Yeah. Was that a message? And is he a coach, Colleton, that will send a message to young players and try to make it that way?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a message towards Henry. I think it was just, okay, he maybe caught lightning in a bottle here for the first 20 games. He's certainly one of their best six defensemen, so I definitely don't think it was, hey, you're out of the rotation because you're not playing well. I think it's just, okay, let's reset this 19-year-old kid has just went through a coaching change. He's still trying to get a feel for the NHL game. Let's maybe he can go to the press box and look at what the Hawks are doing from afar.
In terms of Corey Crawford, how would you grade him in the time he's been back? Because for me, he's been a solid B+.
My goodness, Cap, I'm surprised. I don't know if you guys are, but look.
I am.
The expectation level that he had, he came in after that long layoff, and it looks like he didn't miss a beat. He looks like the same, and he doesn't have the strong defenseman in front of him, and yet he's still playing at that high level. I've been very impressed. He's been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I agree. His save percentage doesn't look like it was last season early on, but like you look at every Blackhawks game, and the Hawks could allow 6 or 7 goals, and Corey Crawford is not any of the problem. Like, it's just like, oh, well, there's a glaring turnover that led to the goal, and Corey Crawford couldn't do anything.
I give him an A just for the fact that he came back and hasn't missed a beat. I mean, he had a serious head injury last year. He missed most of the season. So that in itself is kind of a miracle, I think. And given what he's had in front of him and the adjustments being made, he's been playing very well.
And they've had a couple goalie wins.
They have had a couple goalie wins where he's been. They've had some games where they lost, and I felt like, wow, they were only in the game because Corey was outstanding.
Right.
So we'll see how things work out. Cam Ward's also proven to be a pretty solid signing. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, sure. I think early on until Corey Crawford came to where he could able to play, Cam Ward was very good.
All right, we got to take our first time out here on Sports Talk Live. When we come back, we'll talk to that young man. Dylan Strom is going to join us. He came over in a trade. His brother, also an NHL player, traded less than 2 weeks before him. We'll get into all of that next.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Blackhawks fan, text lottery to Beehawks now for a chance to win a pair of tickets and a meet and greet with Coach Jeremy Culleton before the game, courtesy of the Illinois Lottery. That's lottery to 242957, and be sure to watch the drawing in the second period of tonight's game. Thursday before the Blackhawks take on the Jets, join NBC Sports Chicago for a special edition of Blackhawks pregame live presented by Coors Light on location from Smoke Daddy in Wrigleyville. Coverage begins at 6:30 on NBC Sports Chicago. All right, Blackhawks make a big trade. Nick Schmaltz is now playing out in Arizona. Blackhawks bring two players back. One of those, Dylan Strom, he joins me here on Sports Talk Live. First of all, Dylan, welcome to Chicago. I'm sure it's been a whirlwind time. What is it like now coming to the Chicago Blackhawks?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, 24 hours. Obviously, I was in shock, but I found out it was Chicago. I was really excited, and just couldn't wait to get here. And so they played Vegas first game at home, so I was obviously very, very fired up for that, and I'm looking forward to tonight.
So I'm reading about you, and I come across an article in the New York Post in the last day, and it's your brother Ryan, who was traded a little less than 2 weeks before you were traded, and he said, pretty weird. He said, I get traded, and then somebody comes up and goes, guess what? Your brother's getting traded to Chicago. We're both in original six teams now. What is that like to have him go through it just before you did?
Yeah, it's I think it's harder on my family than anyone. I know they're cheering for four different teams in the span of, I think, a week and a half. So, I don't know. I think for him, it's just it's a good opportunity for him to go to New York and help a pretty good team already going forward. So I know he's excited about it. And then for me, I think I've never been traded before, never in junior or anything. He got traded in junior and once in the NHL already. So I feel like he's a little bit more known to it. But this is obviously a shock for me. And traded is something that has never happened before for myself. So just trying to adjust to it. And we'll see how it goes. But I'm really excited to be in Chicago.
So you have history with Alex DeBrincat, and the guy they call the Cat has been a big hit here in Chicago. What do you look forward to most about having chemistry with him?
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. He's one of my best friends. We kept in contact, our first year in pro each, and we're real good friends. So we're just gonna try to build that chemistry here, and hopefully it goes well. He's a guy that can really score a lot of goals, and loves to score. So hopefully I can help set him up, and it should be good for everyone.
All right, so I need a good awkward
Like, wow, I can't believe that Dylan just told that story about Alex DeBrincat.
You know, he's honestly a pretty pretty even keel guy. He doesn't he doesn't do too many wild things. I think the one thing that he does that's a little bit weird is he loves pop for some reason. He just like he likes pop. And I know he's obviously very focused on his nutrition, but something when it comes to pop, he's just it's just this is thing. Like he can crush a Sprite right before bed and be completely fine and just go to sleep. So I guess that's one thing that I would say that's a little bit different.
So he's probably a fairly boring guy to be around, right?
I think he's kind of funny, but I guess some people might think he's boring.
Now, you also had another line mate. I think he's a decent hockey player by the name of Connor McDavid. Okay, what is it like to be, you're highly drafted. The Cat is a stud player here in Chicago, but that guy, Connor McDavid's ridiculous. What was that line like?
That was pretty cool. My second year in junior and Alex's first year. So, Connor pretty much tore up the entire league. I think he had 120 points in 40 games or something like that. So, that was pretty spectacular what he did, and to get to watch him every day was pretty special. So, I got to play with him on the power play, and Alex got to play with him on a regular basis. So, it was pretty cool to just learn from a guy like that and have him become one of your best friends. So that's also cool. And obviously what he's doing in the NHL is not surprising to us, but might be surprising to other people. But it's pretty cool to watch.
All right, so you get traded over here. And, I always ask different athletes in different sports. You walk into the locker room, whose locker room is it? Obviously that answer here belongs to Jonathan Toews. Was he one of the first guys that you dealt with? And what is it like dealing with a guy with his leadership resume?
Yeah, he's one of the first guys I met. I know there's a bunch of older guys here that kind of came up right away and said hello and welcome to the city. And we actually got there as everyone was kind of going on the ice for practice. So met most of the guys on the ice, actually, just said, how's it going? And then kind of got to know them a little bit better after practice. So, obviously coming in with a guy like that who's done what he's done in this league is pretty special. And obviously he's what every team wants as their first-line center. So, if I can, try to emulate some things that he does and help them be a good centerman down the road, I think it's only going to be beneficial for myself and for Chicago.
Last one. The one thing you go, I got to be better at that when I get to Chicago. What is it?
I think producing. I think, it's obviously what every player wants to do is help the team win and help the team score and set up plays. So I want to, whatever it is, I think it's getting more chances and just helping the team win. I think that would be the biggest thing. We obviously didn't win too much in Arizona when I was playing and when I was there, so I want to turn that around here and help the team win. So that would be the one thing.
Appreciate your time and best of luck here in the Windy City.
Thank you very much.
All right, we will have one more segment here on our Sports Talk Live show from the concourse at the United Center in advance of Blackhawks and Vegas Golden Knights. Mitchell Trubisky a topic, and Zach LaVine took another bad shot. We'll be right back.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Do you know someone who's a Blackhawks authentic fan? We want to hear from you. Share your stories and nominate a Blackhawks superfan for their chance to become our next authentic fan of the game. Enter at NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF. Yeah! All right, last night, a one-point lead. Zach LaVine's got the ball in his hands with 24 seconds to go. He's going to let the clock tick down. Now here comes Fred Hoiberg screaming, get up here and screen. Wendell Carter comes to set the screen. Zach LaVine says, no, beat it. I don't want to screen.
No.
And this is the shot they
don't
get.
Don't do it. Not even drawing
iron. Not even close.
You can't do that. Look, I understand that they're not in that position without Zach LaVine. But you've got to know better. You can't wave off your coach. You can't wave off your teammate. Take the ball to the basket. Get fouled or dunk it. Because that's what you're capable of doing. If he wasn't explosive going to the rim, it'd be a different story.
Yeah, you can't wave off the defender and then pull up from three. If you're going to do that, you got to drive the lane because there was so much open space.
He said that he did not want to get double teamed. Well, if you read the play and he comes to double me, somebody's open. You can't cover them all.
The whole lane is
somebody.
Open, too, if he doubles.
So read it and make the correct pass.
Trust your teammates.
Trust your teammates.
Obviously, they're
That's
shorthanded.
That's what LeBron does. LeBron will get criticized for not taking the shot because he makes the correct basketball
play. He's a smart player.
Smart player.
Zach LaVine is a smart player, but he's also inexperienced. He hasn't had many of those moments as LeBron, as the guys who were closers. Part of being a good closer is making the right basketball play.
Agreed.
That was not the right basketball play.
Agreed.
If he wanted the shot, didn't he take too long to take it with that little time left on a running clock? I mean, he's just kind of casually dribbling.
You usually want to make that move around 7 seconds, so there's time for a rebound or a foul.
And still, Ryan Arcidiac Akino almost bailed him out.
Right. They stole the ball at the end, and he threw it up in the corner, and it just came up short. So
Bulls are tough to watch.
Here's the final seconds. All they've got to do is get it in bounds. Diakono steals it. Now the ball's loose, and he lets it go at the buzzer.
Diakono had a very good game.
22 points.
Almost was the hero. But when you're relying on guys like that to bail you out, you know where you are as a basketball team.
Yep, no question.
That's why they have five wins.
No, that's exactly what. Right. Now they're going to get Lauri Markkanen back next week, and we'll see how things work
out. I guarantee you this. Maybe not guarantee, but he's not going to be. Zach LaVine's not going to be waving off Lauri in a situation like that.
Absolutely not.
You know,
absolutely not. All right. Yep. Before we get out of here, Mitchell Trubisky, we'll get an update from Matt Nagy tomorrow around 11:45 or so. Do you expect him to play against the New York Giants?
I do. Until you hear otherwise. Look, he's a football player. There's some risk involved in every time you go out in the field, but based on what we know about the injury to this point, he should be okay. If he's okay, you play him. Regardless of how well Chase Daniel played against the Lions, he's still your starting quarterback. This is a trap game. You want your offense clicking on all cylinders. He's part of that.
But you know, David, a lot of guys, especially football players, will say, I'm okay, and they're not okay. You know, seeing how they did without him against the Lions, you're playing a team that's 3-8. Maybe let him sit again if he's borderline.
I don't know. I mean,
if the doctor clears him for me, he plays. If the doctor says, he can go, but it's 50-50, different story. But if the doctor walks into Matt Nagy and says, Coach, it's up to him how he feels, but we've cleared him, he can play.
He's going to want to play.
And he plays.
And, you know, they're not going to take any risk with the franchise quarterback. So they're going to be responsible. And if he's cleared, you're right, Cap, then you play him. You don't worry about the risk involved because there's risk every time you take the field.
No question.
Yeah, and, what are the chances that he aggravates the shoulder injury? Like, you got to make sure he's 100%, right? He's not battling
through
a 90%.
You're not going to be
100%. Well, it's his throwing shoulder. It's not like it's his left shoulder
where
he's
clear him, he plays.
Yeah.
All right, we got to roll. Yeah. We've got Blackhawks pregame live coming up, and then the Blackhawks and the Vegas Golden Knights right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Back in the studio tomorrow. We'll see you. Have a great night.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.